So chapter 25. So in this chapter, Yalta Rebbe concludes the discussion we began in chapter 18. In chapter 18, we began to talk about this pasuk, this verse that says that this thing is very near to you. Moshe is telling the Jews, this thing that I'm commanding you, the whole Torah is very near to you, in your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it. We explained that even though literally, when you look at the verse, it means that there are three sections, there are three types of activities that the Jewish people are commanded to do in the Torah. Some of them are action-based. Some of them are verbal, are oral, things you have to be davening and talking about. And some of them are emotional, things you have to believe. And faith-based, you have to believe in Hashem, you have to love Hashem, you have to be fearful and awe of Hashem, and so, et cetera. So it would seem that what it says, this thing is very near to you, in your mouth, meaning the mitzvahs that are depending on talking, and in your heart, the mitzvahs that are depending on your faith and on your belief, and you may do it, the mitzvahs that are depending on your action, that's what the literal meaning is. The Alter Rebbe says, however, that Moshe is meaning something different and something deeper. Obviously, that's what it means also, but he also is referring to something a little bit deeper. And it means that it's very near to you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. In other words, that when a person will do the mitzvahs that require action, it's very near to you, it's very easy for you to fulfill those mitzvahs with your heart. Fulfill those mitzvahs with the proper state of mind and the proper state of emotional attachment and emotional excitement, love for Hashem and fear for Hashem. Means that to serve Hashem with out of a feeling of love and awe is a very easy matter for everyone. Well, this seems contrary to our experience. I've never pointed out in the previous chapter before that, chapter 17, that to turn your heart from the worldly matters to a love and fear of God is very difficult because we, as Rebbe had previously explained, are essentially powered by an animal soul. And the animal soul is something that has natural inclinations. It has its own way of looking at the world. And the animal soul in most people, most means 99% of people, is the one that is actually driving the bus. It's the one that's driving the individual, and the one that's the original motivator. And the godly soul, the connection to Hashem, is sort of playing catch up. So if we are connected to all kinds of materialistic things, and that's really where our drive is and where we get our real sense of pleasure and our sense of purpose from materialistic accomplishments, then how can you turn your heart from that to all of a sudden be motivated by a love and a fear of Hashem? It doesn't mean you're not going to have a love and a fear of Hashem, but to be motivated, that should be your driver. The reason I'm doing the mitzvah is because I love Hashem and I'm in awe of Hashem. And that's why I'm doing the mitzvah. That's a very, very large statement, Alter Rebbe says. Moshe says that it's so easy for everybody to do it. How could that be? So the answer, Alter Rebbe explained to us in the chapters after that, that indeed it's an easy matter. We don't have to create new feelings. All we have to do is remember that we are children of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. All we have to do is remember that we come from great people. And they, because Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, obviously the matriarchs, patriarchs, because they all had such love and such fear of Hashem, such attachment to Hashem, we call them the Merkava. They were a chariot. They were like a wagon to a horse, like a wagon to the driver, rather, like a car to the driver. They had no desires of their own. They, in fact, were not motivated by material accomplishment. They, in fact, were not, their lives were not centered around what could they do for themselves and how could they make themselves more comfortable and how could I have a better life and so on. That was absolutely not their focus. Their focus, the focus of our matriarchs or patriarchs, was I'm nothing. I don't exist. Hashem wants something. I'm there. I'm simply a tool in this world to cause that Hashem's will and Hashem's plan and Hashem's agenda should be come into fruition, should be put into play, and should be what the world is looking at, and so on. I'm here only to serve Hashem. So they are called a Merkava. Now, with such an attitude, you give birth to children that have, if you really, really fight for your life, the Alter Rebbe said, Hashem gives their children a gift. And the parents work this hard. And the parents have this attitude. So Hashem gave us a gift. Us means the children of Avraham and Yaakov, every single Jew. That gift is that in our DNA, we have love for Hashem already. Not because we did anything, but because it's called a Yerusha, it's an inheritance. An inheritance you don't have to work for. The by definition, you're a child of that person who is bequeathing you, who is giving you that inheritance. By definition, you get it. You didn't work a day in your life. You had nothing to, you have no knowledge of how this thing works, and you're absolutely unqualified even to use it, but it's yours because you are an inheritor. So this, Al-Dhabi says, we inherit from Abraham and Yaakov. We inherit this love for Hashem. So anyway, all you have to do is recognize, therefore, that you already have this love for Hashem in your DNA. Find where you have it and focus on it. You don't have to create a new love. So all we have to do is arouse our innate love and fear of Hashem, the sense of awe, the sense of love for Hashem from their latent state, and to employ them in the service of Hashem. And now the Rebbe says, you know what the proof that there is a latent state, that there is a state of love and fear of Hashem that is simply dormant, it's hidden, it's sleeping, and it's right there inside of every Jew. The proof is that if something comes your way, when the choice is clear, the choice becomes clear that if you do this thing, you're going to be separated. You're going to be cut off from the source of your spiritual energy, source of your life, from Hashem's presence. You're not going to do it, even if it requires total self-sacrifice, literally giving up your life. So therefore, what do we see? We see that even though we appear to be individuals who are motivated by materialistic and by here and now and by physical needs and desires, but that's not true, because if that were true, we would never give up our material life if just to remain connected with Hashem. So clearly, if we're ready to give up our material life, that cannot be our motivator. That's a fake motivator. That's a temporary. It's just the way things appear to be. But in fact, as I've explained to us, we are in fact motivated by service, by a desire to be connected with our Creator. And then went on to explain, chapter 18, 19, the nature and the essence of this love and fear, which, as I was saying, is we don't want to be separated, and so on. And then we explained how the mitzvahs are an affirmation of Hashem's unity. We explain that the mitzvahs and the Torah and davening, which are three methodologies, three ways to connect with our Creator. So we said, oh, fine. What does a Jew really want? Clearly, we really don't want materialistic things. We appear to be materialistic, but if we're ready to give up our lives at the drop of a hat, when we were previously totally non-religious, completely acting secularly, and all of a sudden somebody comes and says, I'm going to kill you if you give up your religion, and we say, kill me, I'm not going to give. So clearly, even though we appear to be motivated by physicality, materialism, that's not true. It's not true, it just appeared to be that way. Now the Rebbe says, okay, fine. So how then, without short of giving up your life, how do you attach yourself to Hashem? If every Jew really wants to be connected with their Creator, seamlessly connected, the closest you can get to the source of your energies, how do you do that? And the Rebbe said, well, Hashem in his great goodness gave us two ways to do that. One is by studying his Torah, and the other is by doing his mitzvahs, by fulfilling his will, by fulfilling his commandments. And we explain that study of Torah has a certain advantage. Doing the mitzvahs has a different advantage. That's why we have both of these tracks that were given to us by our Creator. Studying of Torah has the advantage that there is no closer unity. There is no way to get closer to a human being in this world. And therefore, by extension, we can understand this as a parable, as an analogy. There's no way to get closer to our Creator than by being on the same page mentally, by sharing their thought processes, by understanding what motivates them, by understanding what they want. Everybody understands This is, you know, we call it emotional attachment. We call it emotional understanding. There's no way of being closer to another human being than being emotionally and mentally attached to them, so you understand what they want, you understand their desires, their deepest thoughts, you understand how their mind works, you understand what motivates them. That means I'm very close to this person. Very close doesn't mean you're standing close to them. It could be standing close to somebody that you're absolutely in a fight with. But when you are understanding how their inner workings work, that's what we understand means being very close. What is Hashem's inner workings? Hashem's inner workings is the Torah. The Alter Rebbe explained to us way back in the beginning of Tanya, in chapter 4 of Tanya, Alter Rebbe explained to us that even though Hashem's thoughts are so much deeper than our thoughts, and even though Hashem's way of thinking clearly is much, much more powerful and much, much more complicated and intellectually deeper than any, you know, adjective you want to use, than the human being's thoughts, how can you understand God's thoughts? This seems a very arrogant statement to make, that you studying Torah, you understand God's thoughts. The Alter Rebbe says, yes, because Hashem is as great as God is, that's how humble he is. This is the language of the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe says he sort of humbled himself and put his thoughts inside Torah in a package, in a way that we human beings should be able to understand. So imagine, Alter Rebbe says you have, not in that chapter, but elsewhere, he says, imagine you have a great chacham, a very wise person, who wants to explain what he's thinking. He wants to explain to a very simple person. So what does he do? He takes the thought that he is explaining, which might be a very deep thought. You have some guy, I don't know, theoretical mathematics, or he's talking about advanced science, or some deep concept in law, something that's really, really difficult to understand. And he's talking to a person that has no experience in that field whatsoever. So how does he explain it? You give a parable, you give a mushel, you try to find out what that person does understand, and you try to find out what in their life is somehow similar. And you say, you remember when you went out and you had this and you had that, and this, you all do understand, well, that's something a little similar to that and the other thing. And eventually, by contracting your wisdom, contracting the thought to the level of the person to whom you're speaking, eventually that person begins to understand. Now, do they understand the whole story? No, clearly not. But they do, it can be said that they understand what you're trying to express. And that's what Hashem did for us in the Torah. Hashem took his wisdom, contracted it, he compacted it, he presented it to us in a way that it should be on our level. So in fact, do we get the full majesty, the full range of Hashem's thoughts the way they exist in Hashem's mind? Clearly not. Human being cannot do that. We don't have the capacity. But on some level, do we understand what Hashem wants as a general matter? Yes. Hashem gives us this. Again, this is a gift. It's a total present. It's a gift that God gives us. And otherwise, we would not be able to access this information, Gemara says. Matter of fact, which you may have heard, that when an infant is in a fetus, is still in the mother's womb, Malach comes, teaches you Torah, and without that information, without that preparation, you would not be able to understand the Torah. When the child is eventually, the fetus eventually was born, becomes an infant, and then a grown adult. So, you know, there's various mechanisms that Hashem does to make sure that we are able and capable and have access to studying Torah. So studying Torah, we explained, is an incredible unity with Hashem. We also then said that doing mitzvahs is an incredible way of uniting with Hashem, not as, so to speak, on one page, because it's not, now this is an action thing, but we become the limbs for Hashem. We become Hashem's limbs. What does it mean we become Hashem's limbs? It means God wants that the certain things should happen in the world. He wants that the poor man should have bread to eat. Hashem could choose to make bread rain down from heaven. He did it in the desert for 40 years, as with the man. Hashem could choose for all of a sudden gold to appear in this guy's living room. A miracle can happen, but that's not what Hashem chooses. usually, at least as far as we know, Hashem chooses to give us a mitzvah, to give us the opportunity that we should take the resources that he gave us, and of course our resources come from Hashem, and we should share those resources with the people who need them, so we become the extension of Hashem's will. We become the mechanism, the tool for Hashem's will to be fulfilled, to come into fruition in this world. We, in the language of the Zohar, the Alter Rebbe quoted in chapter 24, the Alter Rebbe says, chapter 23, and then later in 24, talking about the negative side, we become the limbs, the mitzvahs become Hashem's limbs. The 248 mitzvahs are the 248 limbs of Hashem, in a manner of speaking, because they are the medium, they are the channel, the conduit for the will of our Creator to become actualized in our physical material world. So that's what we were saying. The Alter Rebbe further said that by our very nature, we should always observe the mitzvahs, we should never sin. And because of all this, everything that we said, this amazing, amazing stuff, why would we ever do a sin? It makes no sense. Alter Rebbe says, precisely, it makes no sense. When a person is not using their seichel, if you are motivated by a spirit of foolishness, spirit of folly, foolishness that obscures and hides this innate hidden love for Hashem, it does not permit you to feel the effects that mitzvahs have and the effects that sins have. In this chapter, Alter Rebbe concludes the discussion, stating that every Jew at any time is able to dispel his prayer. So if we have clearly explained how it's possible for us to have love for Hashem, because we are inheritors of this love that comes from Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and then we explain how amazing, and the proof of it is that we're ready to give up our lives if the situation is called for, and then we explain how amazing mitzvahs are. We explain how amazing Torah is. So why would a Jew not be involved with Torah mitzvahs all day long, or not fulfill every single mitzvah that comes your way? The answer is because of the spirit of foolishness. So if the whole problem is the spirit of foolishness, the fact you're not thinking clearly, why are we so susceptible? Why are we so easily swayed by the spirit? How do we get rid of the spirit of foolishness? That's what we want to talk about right now. How do we get rid of this? Spirit of foolishness is what's holding us back. And really, 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 we're like a race car that's racing to go. And all we have is this brake, this spirit of foolishness. We've got to get rid of it. There was a chassid who came to the Alter Rebbe once. And he said to the Alter Rebbe, Rebbe, hakmirais delinkazat. Chop out of me, get rid of my left side, meaning my yetzahar. In other words, if the whole problem is the yetzahar, the whole problem is the spirit of foolishness, how do we get rid of it? So in this chapter, Alter Rebbe concludes the discussion, saying every Jew at any time is able to dispel the spirit of folly, to arouse your hidden love for Hashem. Thus, when he is tempted to sin, he will actually feel how the sin will tear away from Hashem. Therefore, resist the impulse. If you feel what's happening, you have to do it. Similarly, if you're called upon to do a mitzvah, comes time to do a mitzvah, and you feel too lazy, or you feel that it's not worth your while, or you feel that something else is blocking you, you're going to feel the love for Hashem. And then you're not going to even have a temptation to sit back and go turn back on the other side and go back to sleep or not fulfill the mitzvah. You're going to be so on fire that you're going to be doing every mitzvah. The Rebbe says, this is the meaning of the verse, for this thing is very near to you, to observe Torah and mitzvahs, to observe Torah and commandments out of love and fear of Hashem. At any time and moment, a person is capable and he's also free. Meaning, not only do you have the capacity, but there's nothing stopping you. You have total control over yourself if you want it. If you want it, you have total control over yourself. To get rid of the spirit of foolishness that makes a person insensitive to the fact that when by doing this sin, or by not doing this mitzvah, you are either separating yourself or you're giving up an opportunity to connect yourself with Hashem. And then the person will always remember and his love of one God that is certainly latent in his heart, that is absolutely there. It's not woken up because this is an individual who's doing averis, he's doing sins, so clearly the love is not awake, it's only latent, it's only there in a state of potentiality. Well, not even, well, I shouldn't say potentiality, more than potential, it's there, but it's just sleeping. You can, the Alter Rebbe says, wake yourself up at any time. And once you access the concept of love for Hashem, you will also have the concept of fear of Hashem, because they both go together. This love carries within it also fear. That is, the dread of being separated on any account from God's unity and oneness, even if it means sacrificing your life. In this case, the fear of Hashem, this love for Hashem is great enough that it is also enough to motivate you not to want to separate yourself. It's not just on the positive side, it's also on the negative side. You're not going to want to do anything that is going to stop and block the closeness, the relationship, the energy flow with the, between yourself and your creator, between yourself and your source. This is, we're talking about if you're going to have to give up your life for worshiping another idol or another god, God forbid. The Alter Rebbe says, surely, therefore, if you're ready to give up your life, things that are not as extreme as that, for sure you're going to be able to control yourself. You're going to subdue your appetites, subdue your, in this case, the word tivus doesn't just mean appetites, but it means your pursuit of pleasure and your pursuit of all kinds of things, individuals' pursuit of all kinds of things that gets them into trouble. This is less than death, less than giving up your whole life. The Yetzirah pushes you, usually Yetzirah pushes you to do little things. These little things you'll be able to give up. Even if it concerns a minor rabbinic prohibition, because when you're doing a sin, even if it's a minor rabbinic prohibition sin, you're still separating yourself from the energy of Hashem, who gave the instruction to the sages to enact things that they feel needs to be enacted. So by definition, therefore, if you fulfill the rabbinic prohibition, meaning you don't transgress it, or you fulfill the rabbinic mitzvah, you're getting energy from Hashem too. It doesn't make a difference if it's a mitzvah that appears to be less important or more important. Every single mitzvah is an energy flow of energy. So you're not going to want to do anything that's going to stop you from fulfilling these things. Now, the Rebbe says, even though that you can do teshuvah, and why would a person give up his life if you can do the avera? Sort of have your cake and eat it too. You do the sin. You have the pleasure of doing the sin, the momentary pleasure that you're looking for. And then you do tshuva afterwards. So then you reconnect yourself. So you don't lose net. You don't lose anything. And the Alter Rebbe says, okay, fine. You might make the immediate argument that it's very difficult to do teshuva after you do a sin intentionally. If you're doing a sin intentionally with the knowledge that it's not so bad because I can do teshuva, from heaven, they don't give you opportunities. Well, the Rebbe says, but for the very determined person, this is not so. The very determined person, even if you did the sin for the purpose of doing teshuva, in other words, you want to have your cake and eat it too, you want to do the sin and then do teshuva and restore your relationship with Hashem afterwards, it only means that they're not going to give you opportunities. But if you really push very hard, if the guy says, I'm a very motivated individual, I know that I can, you know, spend these 5 minutes doing this and this, and the next 10 minutes, I'm going to be fine. I know that I have the drive and the willpower to do teshuva. Alter Rebbe says, even though this possibility exists, that you can do teshuva and restore your relationship, there's no normal person that wants to go through that, and even temporarily, because the temporary separation from Hashem is also a terrible thing. If you're really a straight-thinking person, you're not going to say, I want the pleasure from doing the sin, even though I can do the tshuva later, because while you're doing the sin, you're separated. So if you have now managed by virtue of recognizing the special connection you have with your neshama that comes from our patriarchs and so on, and the greatness of Torah, you recognize this, then why would you even want for a short period of time to be separated from Hashem? That doesn't make any sense. Once you see that there's divine light, which is closing your soul, and it transcends time. In relation to this light, every action is eternal. It means that even if you did something yesterday, and you did teshuva today, but that timeline of yesterday and today, where the today is teshuva, and the yesterday was the sin, so therefore, net, where are you? You're now teshuva. Your sin was is water under the bridge. Alter Rebbe says, that only exists in our world, not in Hashem's world. In Hashem's world, every action that we ever did is always there, because past, present, and future don't work in a timeline. Hashem is above time. So a person did a sin. And the sin is still there. A matter of fact, this is a statement that King David makes. King David makes a statement. He says, my sin is always in front of me. No matter how great you did teshuva, the sin is always there. You have to keep on doing teshuva, even for the small sins that you did already teshuva, and the teshuva was accepted. When the individual becomes greater by virtue of the fact that they studied more Torah, they did more mitzvahs, there are now a high level of connection, the smaller sins that you may have already done teshuva for come back and they bite you in the tush. They come back and they smack you in the face. And those sins pick up their head and all of a sudden they become yet more serious, because the level that this individual is on now, as to do something like that on the previous level wasn't such a bad thing, but on the current level is a terrible thing. So therefore the sins that you did become yet more troublesome. When if a person thinks about all these things, you're not going to want to be at all doing this sin. And the Alter Rebbe is explaining to us that if you're just thinking straight, you will be motivated. Okay, I'm going to stop here. We have a little more to go. And we will continue, Mirtz Hashem, unless, next time, next week. Does anybody have anything they want to ask or add? No?
Yes, we'll continue next time. And I have questions. So if you, like, basically, you never can be forgiven.
You're going to be, the contrary. You're constantly forgiven. I'm the opposite. You're constantly forgiven as soon as you ask. But the problem becomes that the greater the individual becomes through their actions and their study and their mitzvahs, you just have to keep asking forgiveness, And there is a point, there is a certain point where you get rid of the Yitzhahara itself, but this is only for great tzaddikim. For most people, that's why in the davening, three times a day in the davening, not during Hanukkah, not on Shabbos, not on holidays, but three times a day we ask Hashem for forgiveness. And Yom Kippur again, forgiveness. A whole list of sins that we never sinned, half the sins. Whoever did such crazy, terrible things, like all the things that we have in the Al Chayta and Yom Kippur, nobody ever did such sins. But the answer is that, first of all, they are levels to different things. So if you embarrass somebody, it's like you murdered them, because you made the blood drain from their face. So you may not have committed murder itself, but that's what we say. And then we're all connected. Another explanation is, as Jews, so we're asking forgiveness not only for ourselves, but for other Jews who we may have either seen or known about, or even we don't see them and know about them, we're still connected and we still have to ask Hashem forgiveness for them. But the simplest way to look at it is that there's stuff that we are constantly asking for forgiveness for, because it's just the way it is. We believe that as we progress through life, we become a little bit more mature, hopefully, and therefore a little bit more spiritually sensitive. And then stuff that we may have done in our youth that was no big deal for a youth, but is a big deal for an adult. But the answer is, as soon as you ask forgiveness and you're seeking to restore that and repair that relationship, Hashem is magnanimous. Hashem says, absolutely, of course, I was just waiting for you to ask. Whatever you want, I'll give you, just ask. So forgiveness is one of those things that we ask for in the Shemona Esrei. We say, Slach lanu avinu kichotanu, forgive us. Very interesting, in the Shemona Esrei, we say, Slach lanu avinu, forgive us our father, kichotanu, because we have sinned. That doesn't make any sense. Forgive me because I have sinned. No, forgive me because I'm sorry. That makes sense. Forgive me because I've sinned. So, you know, why should you forgive me? Because I did something wrong. You know, that doesn't make any sense. It should have said, Slach la'aminu, because we are extremely, forgive us our father, because we're extremely remorseful, you know, because we feel so bad. There are plenty of ways to say that, but that's not what it says. And the answer, of course, is that Hashem is forgiving us once we recognize that we are missing, or missing ki chatanu, because we are missing what, you know, either the momentary seichel or the energies or whatever it is. And Hashem is ready to forgive us. So all we have to do is ask, and hopefully not get into trouble next time. But we know that we are human. And as we're saying here, we still have to ask forgiveness for stuff we already forgiven for. Keep constantly asking. So it's a process. It's a continuous process. In the language of the AA, you know, they don't say, I was an alcoholic, I was an addict, even though they've been clean, so to speak, sober, whatever it is, for 20, 30, 40 years. The person says, I am an alcoholic, I am an addict. And then the reason is because they recognize that at any moment, given the wrong circumstances, you can stray back. So essentially, this is what you are. Now, this is not exactly Yiddishkeit, because Yiddishkeit in Judaism, we believe that we are essentially pure. But the concept, still the same concept. Anyway, we'll continue talking about this next week.